We check in with Brad Bollinger from the North Bay Business Journal. Good morning, Brad. Happy post-Easter to you.
Oh, happy Easter to you.
Yeah, hope you had a good one.
Very nice. Thank you, and I hope you did too.
Indeed. What happened to Sonoma Cider?
Well,
I wondered about this on Friday. Figure out exactly what happened.
Well, I think they were as surprised as everyone. They lost their major funding. You know, it's as typical of startups like that. They need, you know, capital to get themselves established.
Sure.
And you know, it was a sudden, you know, I've been up there. It's a really wonderful place. And they did mention the construction for a while close by. That always has an impact. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, hopefully they'll be back in some other form, because it's you know, the specialty food and tourism is not going away. So.
It's part of the whole equation, isn't it?
Right. Maybe you come back smaller and, you know, with a little less overhead, and you make a go of it.
And sad to hear about Glenn Gelotti, who passed away recently.
Very sudden. He's been working very hard because of all the construction activity lately, and was off on an adventure to bring you know, something back, and then, you know, very suddenly lost. So that whole family has been through the ringer in many ways, and our thoughts are with them.
Definitely so. And you tell me what it means that Luther Burbank Savings is opening a branch in Bellevue.
Bellevue, Washington. So really, Luther Burbank Savings is a West Coast phenomenon. They do a lot of lending in Southern California on real estate projects. So, you know, really we're kind of becoming, because of wine, a kind of Northwest region. It's a lot of,
right.
You know, major wine companies and vintners own properties in Oregon and Washington, because they are becoming significant wine growing areas. So, you know, it just makes sense to be there. You have to be in the market to really know it and understand it and lend in it. So good for them.
And speaking of wine, Brad, we can't go any further without talking about the Chinese tariffs went into play as of today. And I would imagine that the wine industry as a whole is shuddering a bit as a response to that.
Well, China has the potential to be the second largest market for wine, just simply because of its size.
Yeah.
There are already barriers to wine sales in China. There are already tariffs, and this is just another, you know, a brick in the mortar against getting wine, you know, U.S. wines into that market. So,
and their market share was on the rise, wasn't it, in China?
Yes, it is. It's you know, it's a very different market from the United States, certainly, but yes, I mean, just again, the sheer size, the growing wealth in China is, you know, makes it a perfect market for U.S. wine. So we'll have to see how that goes. And again, you know, they're going to have to look for your growth here in the United States and in other countries.
Yeah, I wonder what areas have been underdeveloped when it comes to, you know, California wines getting to other areas. Can you think of any?
Well, you know, I mean, the U.S. wine market really, you know, wine is a daily beverage is really ultimately the goal, right? Because that's how it is in
Europe, sure.
In Europe, Italy, and in France, it's just a part of daily life. It's not, there's still a lot of potential there. That doesn't mean you drink a whole bottle every day. It just means
maybe glass with dinner, something like that.
So there's still potential there. And again, consumers are continuing to move up in their wine consumption, up, I mean, to better wines, because once you've had a better wine, it's hard to go back, right? So so I think there's still a lot of potential here domestically to grow wine consumption. So, and I should mention, speaking of wine, cannabis. So we had our first cannabis industry conference last year, and you know, was a success, I'm happy to say. And so again, on May the 9th, we're having Lori Ajax, who's the top state regulator for the industry to be our keynote, and we're also putting together a panel of industry players, including Canacraft, which Bill Silver is a former business dean at Sonoma State, so now the CEO.
It's a biggie, yep.
And a big player in the medical area, which I think really has the most potential for our region to be, just like we are in other areas, the leading region for medical products, which have a lot of promise. So,
and in fact, a week from tomorrow, when the Board of Supervisors meet on the 10th, it will be all about pot.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking a lot about the business ramifications and maybe how we're a little bit underserving at this point in terms of the pot business.
You know, the rollout of the licensing has been less than, stellar because people just aren't, they look at the costs and what have you, and they're just not ready to come out of the shadows. But ultimately, that has to be the goal. And again, I think it's a matter of balancing public safety and public desires against, what is now a legalized industry and allowing it to contribute to the economy, not be a net, negative in terms of crime and money and everything else. So that's the goal.
Lots to look forward to. Yeah, I know there'll be much, much more activity in the near future on that particular front. Brad, good to talk to you on this Monday morning. Let's do it again next week, shall we?
Thanks for having me. And I don't know who let Larry, take some time off. But
I know.
All right. All right, take care.
He's got kids. That's the answer to that.
Yep.
That's spring break, baby. Spring break. That is Brad Bollinger from the North Bay Business Journal on KSRO.